Welcome to the Geek Generation, episode 11. I am rejoined today by one of the fan favorites as far as co-hosts go. I don't know if that's really true, but I'm just saying it.
Yeah, I was going to say true.
Sir Todd Tioli.
Hello.
Yes, Dangerous Memories love up in the house.
Totally. I love Dangerous Memories.
Sweet Dilly. I'm going to do something in this episode. I don't know if it'll be helpful for the fans in the future, but I feel it might be useful if people don't really know what's coming up in the episode to run down what we're planning on. Who knows how many tangents we'll go on, but...
I love tangents.
Yeah. But in this episode, you can look forward to our usual geek outs and freak outs. We're going to play a little top three. There will be listener emails addressed and the news block on the way. I also have, at the end of this episode, a huge announcement and the details for our very first contest, which I'm excited about. That's right. Contest. And Todd and I are going to review the town and go right into our first countdown segment. So we got a ton of crap coming.
I love crap.
Crap's awesome. But before we address any of the geeky shenanigans, Todd, I have to say congratulations.
For what?
You know, the whole married thing now.
Oh, I thought you meant episode 32 of Dangerous Memories. It came out today.
That too. Of course.
No, thank you very much. It was a great night.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about it, but I'm assuming it was a good time.
Yes, it was a beautiful wedding and a beautiful wife.
So you,
I'm very happy with it all.
Yeah, you haven't gone on your honeymoon clearly yet, though.
No, actually, just today we were talking about maybe November 13th flying down to Florida and hitting up, you know, Disney World and whatnot.
Sweet.
Her brother has a timeshare down there, so we can stay at that house. And I guess it's like a half mile from the park, so we'll be right there, and, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's always convenient. I haven't been to Disney World since I was little. Like, I went twice when I was young, and I think the last time I went, they were testing out Splash Mountain to see, like, how it worked, and it was safe and everything. So it was just, like, done being built.
Huh. I was like, 4 when I was there, so I don't remember it at all, really.
Oh, see.
I have pictures.
You must be looking forward to it, then.
You have no idea how excited I am. Especially now that the Harry Potter, like, Wizard World thing is open.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's one of the main reasons we want to go.
That's a huge draw for people our age right now, it is.
Oh, yeah. It looks so cool.
Sweet. All right, well, one other thing before we get into our geek outs and freak outs. I really haven't stressed this on the show or on the site that much, but we do have a YouTube channel for the Geek Generation, and I upload a lot of videos to there. Some of those don't even make it onto the site because I lose track of the amount of stuff that I upload. But
what kind of videos?
Most of the time it's movie trailers, game trailers. I have a few connections with some press sites that send me a lot of stuff, so... I upload all that, and in the future, I am hoping to have some original content where I create some video forms of some of our articles, like top 5 countdowns and things like that. Maybe some portions from this show will even appear on the channel, who knows?
I have a channel on YouTube.
What's on it?
Just 3 videos. I directed and edited them all.
Oh, sweet.
They're pretty terrible, but I like them.
Would you like to plug it so people can watch the terribleness?
No, not really.
All right. Just checking. Well, our YouTube channel, you can go to youtube.com/thegeekgen. I had to shorten it a little bit to fit their username requirements.
Communists.
Yeah, I know, right? So youtube.com/thegeekgen. You'll often see our video content first there before it ever reaches the site. So check that out.
I make myself
laugh. Hey, someone's got to amuse us, right?
Good times.
Yeah, let's go right into geek outs.
Yay!
What do you got there, Toddle?
Toddle.
Yeah, I'm just going to make up nicknames as I go
along. That's fine.
I
love nicknames.
All right, sweet.
I have 2, and one of them goes into my freak out, so I'll use that second.
Okay.
The first one I have right now is Spider-Man Shattered Dimension that I've been playing for the PlayStation 3.
Okay, you have to give me details on this because I love the concept. It looks really cool.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But I'm worried.
About what?
I don't know. I guess maybe it's... I was getting kind of sick of the Spider-Man open world gameplay, but as soon as I saw the first person boss punching, I was like, ooh.
See, that's actually kind of cool because it doesn't happen too often.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it throws it in at actually like a cool time, you know? And you can throw a different type of punches and block them. Yeah. It's not as jarring as you think it would be.
How's the gameplay overall? Is it fluid or is it kind of clunky?
It's pretty fluid. At times it's clunky just because there's a lot. It seems to be like a little glitchy in some of the levels. Like for the, I can't remember, the ultimate, I think, Spider-Man, when you were in the black suit.
Mm-hmm.
You're chasing Electro around, so there's all these like power stations and stuff, and there's like, electricity everywhere. And for some reason, that level glitches like crazy. Like you can web-sling to someone and then, you know, flip over them and kick them and stuff. And for some reason, I kept web-slinging to them, and then it would push me farther past them and falling off this, like, edge. Hmm. And only for that level, though.
There has been talk of, like, massive glitchiness in one part of the game, and maybe that's what...
And then during the Noir level, which is probably one of my favorites because it's friggin' gorgeous.
It looks awesome, yeah.
It's so good, and I love how they talk. Like, I love the dialogue in the 30s. And there was one part where I did the same thing. I web-slung to someone to pull them towards me so I could beat the crap out of them. Because you do silent takedowns in the Noir ones.
Okay.
And so I pulled them towards me, but no one came, but I still did the animation of beating them up. It was really weird. But, I mean, but those are so, you know, minor that I really haven't had a problem with the game because it's so fun.
So the story is, like, really good too?
Yeah, it's cool. At the beginning, oh, crap, I can't remember his name. Mysterio?
Yep.
Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah.
He tries to steal this, like, big, like, rock thing, and it shatters because of something you do, and it goes to all the different universes, and Madam Web comes and tells you you have to get them back. That, like, each you has to get them back.
That mysterious so, Madam Web.
Yeah. Which she has, like, a thing around her eyes. I've never seen that before, like, where she's blind or something. I don't know if I've just never seen her recently or something.
I have seen that incarnation of her.
Yeah, it was cool. It's creepy, but cool.
Yeah.
But the game is just so good to look at. Like, the cutscenes are gorgeous. Like, the dialogue is really good for every Spider-Man. There's always a different actor playing him.
And it's all, like, people from former animated series.
Well, there's, like, Neil Patrick Harris as the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yep.
And then I don't know who any of the other people are.
Okay. Well, I know that they had one from an older version of the show. One of them is the 90s voice actor.
Yep, he's the guy who was Greg on the Brady Bunch movie.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't recognize his name at all.
Yeah, but that's the only thing I really know him from besides the Spider-Man cartoon.
And I don't know who the other guy is offhand.
Yeah, the guy for the future Spider-Man sounds like he's like 85 years old. He sounds so old.
Maybe that is the older guy then from one of the, like, they're talking like old school series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's cool to hear Stan Lee because he like narrates.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fun game, though. I'm pumped to see Spider-Man 2099 in a game because I've always been a fan of that character.
The one level that I've played with that one is really cool. Like, it's like this future Hobgoblin, and he just starts like flying down, and you're following him, and you keep trying to catch up to him and web-sling to him and punch the crap out of him, and it's really cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Sounds like fun.
Yes.
Should I go into my geek out so you can transition into the freak out?
I would love that.
Okay. Well, I am geeking out over Dexter because nice. Dexter starts this Sunday, September 26th. And are you a constant watcher and caught up?
I don't have any of the channels, so I'm catching up on Blu-ray right now.
Okay. Are you aware of the big season 4 ending?
Ugh, yes.
Oh, all right.
pisses me off. I tried so hard for so long to avoid it. And just within the past few past month. It's been ruined everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why wait until the DVD comes out to ruin it? Like, you know what I mean?
A lot of people have said that there's been spoilers of one form or another. And I don't know if this is a good time to bring it up, but I don't know if this is necessarily a freak out, but I've always been curious about spoiler etiquette, especially that now we live in a world where there are DVRs and you can't go and post something on Twitter or Facebook or anything like that as soon as you watch something. I have certain people that I purposely don't follow or block their updates on Facebook because they spoil everything for me. And I was like, I'm not dealing with this anymore.
It's really hard.
Yeah, I watch everything the day after. I never watch anything when it's on because I don't really have cable. I get my stuff through the internet, and everyone was spoiling everything for me, and it just drove me nuts. So I'm not sure, like, what the new spoiler etiquette is with all that
stuff. Yeah, it's getting really bad. Like you could say something simple as, wow, I love Mad Men. And someone would be like, whoa, can you believe so-and-so died? And I'm like, no, because I haven't gotten there yet.
Right. I know. It's ridiculous.
Or this happened to me. You got to listen to this. This story always kills me. I was in my old apartment, and I was dating this girl who I ended up hating. This is one of the many reasons why. All right, so I'm watching 24,
mm-hmm.
and so I forget which season it was. It was one of the seasons where, like, a president was a bad guy.
Okay.
So like every season. But so I'm sitting there watching it. I'm almost done. I have, like, maybe three episodes left, right?
Mm-hmm.
My roommate at the time, Epic Rage, walks out and goes, hey, did you find out who the bad guy is yet? And I was like, oh, no, not yet. And he's like, oh, okay, cool, and walks in. The girl is sitting on the couch reading a magazine.
Oh, no.
As soon as he walks away, she goes, hey, did you find out the president's the bad guy
yet?
And I was like, are you retarded? Like, did you not just hear what just happened? And literally 2 minutes later, you find out he was the bad guy on the show.
Oh, my God.
I almost lost my mind. You... I've never hit a woman, but I was so close.
I would be so angry.
I've invested so much time watching 24, you know, and then, you know, to have something like that major ruin for me.
And you want to know what's just as bad as using a spoiler is giving out a fake spoiler.
Yeah, that's really annoying because you're waiting for it.
Yeah, because I've been told, like, something's going to happen during a movie or whatever, and the whole time I'm waiting for that thing to happen and it never does, and I'm like, son of a bitch.
it's kind of like how you mentioned with the credits at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because now you're always waiting for that person to show up.
Exactly.
So actually, for the whole last season of Lost, I put my hand in front of my face so it would block the bottom of the screen.
Dude, I did the exact same thing during the season finale.
That's what I did for almost every episode because I didn't want to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I would love to get some feedback from the fans, podcast@thegeekgeneration.com. Just the whole, this is kind of an impromptu poll question, I guess. But I would love to hear their thoughts on, like, spoiler etiquette, because it's such a different world we live in now. And how long do you need to wait before it's okay to start talking about those things openly?
Yeah, like when we do review the AFI Top 100, I don't feel bad about, you know, ruining everything, because most of them are, like, over 50 years old.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen those by now, then it's your own fault.
And it's also what we're doing, you know? It's right. Like, we're reviewing the movies. What are we going to do, just not spoil the ending?
Sure.
Then it's not really, you know, it's not a full review, in my opinion.
Right, and
like, I feel like you need to talk about the whole thing.
It's absolutely fine to, like, we do the spoiler room, and it's a plenty fair warning. It's not like we just exactly, go, spoiler yeah. alert, and then say it right away. It's,
I mean, we're 32 episodes in now. By now, you got to know that we're going to spoil the AFI movies.
Right.
Just don't listen to the second half of the episode if you're going to get mad at us.
There you go.
Although no one's gotten mad at us over that. It's over things in the first half where, like, Hector will be like, oh, yeah, and then Jack's kid, and we're like, hey, don't just go around saying that.
Can't just let that stuff fly. That's serious, man. All right, well, Dexter's my only geek out because I'm just so friggin' excited, and I actually, oh, yeah, I bought, I'm going to be Dexter for Halloween, so I actually bought the stuff that he wears for, like, his kill shirt and the gloves and everything.
A Henley shirt?
Yeah.
Are you going to have, like, a little, like, microscope slate thing with blood on it?
No, I was actually going to get a novelty syringe.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
So I think that'll work. But I'm very pumped to be Dexter.
Are you going to wear, like, the apron, or are you just going to wear the Henley and cargo pants?
I think I'm just going to do the Henley and the cargos.
Good.
And I have the black gloves, too, actually.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to be Dexter really bad a few years ago, but I couldn't think. Now that it's more popular, it's probably easier.
Mm-hmm.
But a few years ago, I'm like, what can I accessorize with?
Yeah.
People know that I'm being Dexter right now.
That's true.
Because I didn't think people really knew who he was then.
That's true,
yeah.
Do
you have any blood
bigger.
Splatters on you at all?
No.
But that would make sense. He's a blood splatter expert.
True.
You should just carry around a big thing with a blood splat on it.
I'll just start, I'll go to a party and I'll start running the red twine all over the place. I'll be like, That'd what be the so hell awesome. Are you doing? I'll be like,
There's a crime scene here.
That's right. All right, well, I'll let you geek out for your last one, then we'll move right in.
All right, cool. This was actually mentioned in my podcast briefly, is that I got it for one of my wedding presents from my parents was the Power Play deal at Jordan's Furniture.
Okay.
So I got a couch, a love seat, two end tables, a coffee table, an entertainment center, and a 60-inch Mitsubishi 3D-ready TV.
That's sick.
Yeah. And just yesterday, PlayStation finally updated that I could watch 3D on it.
Okay.
And, like, so I was watching Cloudy the Chance Meatballs in 3D. I was playing the MLB demo in 3D, the Super Stardust 3D, and it's just awesome. I never thought I would want a TV that has 3D, but it just looks so, like, crisp and perfect, you know?
Really?
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's so good looking. Like, watching, there's so much depth. Like, I don't know if you've seen Cloudy the Chance Meatballs.
I have. Not in 3D, though.
It's amazing. I love that movie. And I first saw it in IMAX, so, you know, I was used to that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, on Blu-ray, it's gorgeous anyway. But watching it in 3D with the depth of the town, you know, and everything.
Yep.
It's like a whole new experience watching it. And that's one of the things I'm geeking out over, is just how I want to watch more. Like, Monster House just came out on 3D Blu-ray.
Yep.
So I want to get that. But that leads right into my freak out.
Oh, freak out.
I don't know if you want to hear this part now, but
of course,
leads right
go
into
for
my
it.
Freak out is that there's not enough stuff out right now. And the stuff that is out, a lot of it's in like bundles and crap.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to buy a 3D receiver and 3D glasses every time I want to watch a 3D movie.
True.
I'm not going to spend $300 every time I want to watch, you know, How to Train Your Dragon or Shrek or anything like that.
I was browsing Amazon today and adding some stuff to my wish list, and I was looking at Despicable Me because I loved that movie.
Yeah, I still really want to see that.
Oh, it's really good. And they have like the standard Blu-ray. They have the Blu-ray DVD digital content download version. Yeah. And then they had a 4-disc one that had the digital content, the DVD, the Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray 3D. And
see,
I was like,
perfect.
Wow.
That's exactly what I would buy.
And
that is exactly
awesome.
What
and
I'd buy.
I think it was like, what, $35, $36? That's not bad
yeah.
at all.
And that's exactly what Christmas Carol is doing. Disney's Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It's the perfect way to go. You know, I don't know what DreamWorks thinks they're doing, thinking that people are going to spend $300 every time they want to buy one of their movies.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's how Monsters vs. Aliens is. You still can't buy it on 3D Blu-ray. It's only available in the bundle.
That was a terrible movie.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Really? I hated it.
I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It wasn't up to par with, you know, How to Train Your Dragon or any Pixar movie.
I
except
still
for Cars.
Really want
to
see How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, man, it's amazing.
Dying to.
So good. But it's just, like, why... Like, I feel like the 3D technology, they're really trying to not shove it down our throats, but they're really trying to, you know, they want people to buy it.
Right.
And people aren't going to buy it if every movie is going to be bundled with something that's
$300. Yeah, it's like selling
it's like
every PlayStation game with the actual PlayStation.
Yeah. I mean, at least now, even PS3 games are starting to come out in 3D.
Yep.
So, like that fight game.
Yep, yep.
Now I really want that because it's for Move and it's in 3D.
Are you getting Move?
There's a good chance I am.
You want to know my prime motivation for getting it? And this is kind of sad.
What is it?
I think I kind of want to play iPet.
No, that's awesome. We were looking at that. Me and my wife were looking at that GameStop, and she was like, I would play that. And I was like, it looks really cool. I saw a video for that online like 2 years ago.
Right.
And I was like, why don't we have that? And I guess it's because they're waiting for Move.
Exactly.
It's so cool.
I was just like, I was so caught off guard because the thing is so freaking cute.
It is. It's adorable.
Oh, I was like, I have to get that, and I feel like a child, but I have to.
No way. It's awesome. I want Move just because, you know, I like the motion control in Wii. Like, I have a Wii, but like sometimes it's just so shoddy. With Move, I just hear it, like it's so close to, you know, how you're actually moving.
Right.
I really want to play Fight, especially in 3D. Killzone 3 is coming out in 3D, and that's going to use the Move.
Leave it to PlayStation to rip off another console and do it better.
I know, right?
That's what I'm talking about.
I bet you're excited for Kinect.
No, don't care at all about that.
Someone at work today was like, we got a 360 Elite in, but the security or whatever code
mm-hmm.
is like scratched off the game system.
Oh.
So like, do you want it for $50? And I was like, God, no. I don't want that in my house. Are you kidding me? Get that out of here.
I think the Kinect is going to be a massive fail.
I think Move is too, to be honest with you.
Well, I think from a technical standpoint, Move is going to be awesome. I don't think Kinect is even technically going to end up that well.
I heard you can't get off your feet with Move. Is that true? You can't jump. You have to stand still.
I have no
clue. Which wouldn't make sense. But I heard there's like problems if you jump.
I can't imagine that because it's just going to track where it is anyway.
Yeah.
If you jump, it'll just make you go up, like, or make the arm go up or whatever, because it's tracking the ball.
Yeah.
So
when I was watching, I watched Jimmy Fallon every week, and when E3 was going on, he had a bunch of specials on there, and it showed him playing Kinect, and it just didn't look fun to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I like having the controller and the buttons and all that stuff. And
yeah, I do too.
Yeah,
I feel like there's no weight to anything. Like,
right.
I need to have some sort of weight to something, like bowling, especially for the Wii, like, or even with Move now.
Yep.
I like to have the something in my hand as opposed to just flailing around.
I even kind of like those packs that they sell, as corny as they are, where, like, if you're playing tennis, you can put the actual tennis, like, racket thing on top and stuff.
It makes it easier.
Right.
With having nothing, it's just you feel like you're, I don't know. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
Like, did you see that Smallville episode when Chloe was playing? She looked like a tard, right?
yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's
totally.
How, I don't want to look like that ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what lead in my freak out. I apologize for going off for so long.
No, that's fine. I this is all
I just wish there was more.
This is all relevant stuff. Anything else you're freaking out over? Or?
There was, but I can't remember what it was now.
All right. Well, I actually have two of them. The first one's really quick and kind of ties into our whole spoiler thing.
Nice.
Did you ever see the movie Hancock?
I sure did.
Pretty terrible, right?
I wouldn't go that far. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I was
I don't
a little...
like the cover. I don't like the cover of the DVD.
Okay. There you go. There's my freak out. You got it. Yeah, the cover spoils the whole movie.
Yeah.
The big twist, and I don't even know if I should say it here, but the big twist...
Well, I mean, it says it's on the cover of the movie.
That's true. The big twist is the fact that, spoiler alert, that Charlize Theron is a superpowered being. She's in her, like, friggin'... like, godly costume on the front of the friggin' DVD.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Because if someone watches the trailer, it shows no evidence of that, and then they look at the cover of the DVD, and they'll just get confused and then be like, oh, wait a minute, oh, movie over.
I don't know. I enjoyed that movie for what it was. I thought it was a really... I mean, I don't think it was done well enough, but I really like the premise.
Yeah.
Like, I like that... Peter Berg and everyone took, like, made up a superhero.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I like that. I think that's cool. Not, like, Blank Man.
Sure. Oh, whoa, whoa. You're going to start dissing Blank Man on my show?
No. I'm joking.
Oh, you put it right.
I kid because I love.
Yeah.
I just like that they made up their own superhero. And not only that, but put them into a really cool situation. Like,
yeah.
I like that.
See, I was really fascinated by the idea of an original superhero. It could have been anything, but the fact that it was original was cool. I wanted to watch the story of a downtrodden, like, disgruntled superhero, and then this whole, like, God story came in the end, and I was just like, oh, I don't want that. I want to go on this other journey, and
yeah,
you took
that.
Me in a weird direction. Like,
you know the only thing that really bugged me about that movie?
What was that?
Was that as soon as he got out of jail, his voice went to normal Will Smith.
Yeah.
I don't understand why he talked different before he went to jail.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
Would you want a cookie? He talked like that for the first half of the movie. He gets out of jail, and he talks like normal Smith.
I don't even remember all of them, but I came out of that movie like counting the plot holes, and I was just, yeah.
I love Will Smith, though, so I don't even care.
Okay, yeah, I do, too.
He's such a likable character that it's hard to watch him and not, you know, have a smile on your face.
True.
Well, he's so charismatic.
That's very
and
true.
And it's it makes sense why he's like the highest grossing celebrity right now, because... He's just, I don't know. He's so charismatic. It's so hard not to watch him.
Do you know who the best bang for your buck celebrity is at the box office?
Right now?
Yep.
I thought it was Will Smith.
It's not.
It's not?
He might be the highest grossing, but when I talk about biggest bang for your buck, I mean...
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, you're right.
Ugh.
For every dollar that they invest in him, he brings back like 86.
So you know what's not fair about that? Transformers, Indiana Jones.
Oh. I know, he's riding franchises.
Exactly, he has nothing to do with how successful those movies were.
Right, and that's why it pisses me off, too.
With the exception of Disturbia, which was like a pretty big hit for him.
But that's just a remake.
Kind of. It's not called a remake, but it really is.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same movie.
I know, I watched the trailer, and I was like, oh, the Hitchcock would be thrilled.
Yeah, exactly. so it was infuriating. I got so mad when that movie came out. But that's a different story.
Yeah.
There's a freak out.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf.
They're just all pouring out. Freak out's like crazy. So yeah, the Hancock cover is my first, because that's ridiculous. Spoiler on the cover is stupid, but...
Can I ask why this came about? Because that's been out for like 3 years.
Yeah, I know, right? I literally, I was at a Best Buy a few weeks ago, and I saw the cover and like did a quick head fake, because I hadn't seen it really on DVD yet.
Oh, okay.
And then... I meant to talk about it on the show, and I kind of forgot about it. Then I was just in Target the other day, and I saw it again, and I was like, God, it still pisses me off. So
wait, so you haven't seen it on DVD? You haven't seen the unrated cut?
No.
There's a really cool extra scene in there where he like bangs some broad, and it sounds, you know, stupid, but it's actually a really good scene.
Really?
Yeah, like it added more to the like him being a superhero and trying to be normal and stuff. It was just really cool.
Maybe I'll watch it again. Maybe.
Nah, if you don't like it, there's no point. I just like that scene.
My other freak out is this whole Foursquare bullcrap.
Oh, it's garbage.
I hate Foursquare. What the hell is Foursquare for?
Is this where you have to know where everyone is at all times?
Yeah, this is when people become the mayor of like Dunkin' Donuts. Ugh. And there's one friend of mine that I just recently unfollowed on Twitter because his entire feed was Foursquare updates.
Is it Scott Toomey?
No. No, it's
every
not.
Every time he checks in somewhere, I'm like, I don't need to know where you are.
Well, no, he would drive to work, and two of his check-ins were toll booths. And I'm like, what the hell is that? How do you even do that? You're driving.
Yeah. It's really annoying. That could be one of my freakouts, too. I hate it. Every time I see it, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care where you are. Stop telling me.
Yeah, and like Twitter, when it first came out, I was like, I don't need to do that. I'm already on Facebook. And then I got into it, and I was like, okay, this is actually really cool, and I got hooked on it. And then
that's how I was.
But Foursquare, what the hell? What is the point? I don't get it.
People love to know, want you to know where they are at all times and exactly what they're doing.
Are we that narcissistic as a society?
Well, I mean, we have Twitter and Facebook, don't we?
Right, but
where it's all status updates about what we're doing and how awesome we are.
Even my narcissism has limits.
Yeah, me too.
I don't need to and say I'm, where I'm I am at all times.
People ever. No, like, and it's spreading just beyond that now. Like, now I'm seeing the, I'm watching so-and-so via Goes Miso. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. And, like, I know people who watch, like, episodes of something. So every time a new episode comes on, they say, now I'm watching blah, 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 via Goes Miso. I'm like, stop telling me that.
If you have an opinion about something, I love to hear opinions. I don't need to know what you're doing.
Yeah, and where you're doing it, for
right.
matter.
So Foursquare just pisses me off.
It's I don't see the point.
No.
Big Brother, man, 1984.
And how do you become the mayor of Dunkin' Donuts? What is that bull? Ugh.
Yeah, and then I haven't seen it that much lately, but there's always that so-and-so knocked off so-and-so and became the mayor of. I'm like, why? Who cares?
Yeah. Who are you going to go brag to about that aside from Twitter?
You can just see so many ad replies like, holy shit, dude, that's awesome.
Oh. So obnoxious. See, if this is where Foursquare could get cool. Like, say you did become the mayor of Dunkin' Donuts, and all of a sudden it gave you a little coupon on your iPhone that you could show to the person and get, like, something off. And
you had subordinates.
Right. And you could actually start commanding people around, and you have your minions.
Your clothes.
That is a purpose for Foursquare. I don't know what all this other crap is.
Yeah, it's garbage. I hate it.
Yeah, but I'm going to calm down a little bit.
No, freak out.
Yeah, I'm on edge today, I guess.
Tell me about it. I have a huge migraine right now. I'm so furious.
Well, then let's do something a little more fun.
Done.
Let's play top three.
I love it.
Three, two, one.
All right. So, last week was your big knot tying ceremony and whatnot.
Sure was.
So I figured let's go with those types of themes as we play top three this week. So I'm going to ask you, what are the top three wedding or bachelor party related movies that come to mind for you? I know this is kind of a really...
It's really broad.
Is it really broad? I thought it was too narrow.
Really? I thought it was really broad.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because is it a movie that has a wedding or a movie that's centered around a wedding?
I would say centered around a wedding. Or at least, like, Wedding Crashers would count because it really is an underlying theme.
Can it be a movie that has a huge scene set at a wedding?
Sure.
All right. I have two of them.
Okay.
One, no one's going to like my responses to this because I'm in the minority of liking these movies.
Are they chick flicks?
No, not really, actually.
Okay.
Although I do love My Best Friend's Wedding.
Haven't seen that yet.
I used to be obsessed with that movie. For some reason, I had it on VHS. Used to watch it all the time.
My Best Friend's...
With Julia Roberts?
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of something totally different.
No, for some reason, I used to be obsessed with that movie.
Huh. I don't think I've ever seen that.
So that'd actually be one of my top three, because I used to watch it all the time.
Okay.
And I actually really enjoy that movie. It's a cute movie.
I don't know.
That's one of them. That's one of them. And then, so the other two, you're not going to like, and I don't even care. They're both wedding movies.
Okay.
Well, both movies that have weddings. The first one's American Wedding.
Oh, I like that.
yeah, I actually really like that movie. And I thought it really, like, the second one was pretty much the first movie, the same thing again.
Right.
But I really liked American Wedding because, you know, it was them growing up. It still had the gross humor, but it was actually really sweet.
Yep.
Like, I thought more so than the first two. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed it.
I liked it, and I actually really liked the concept that you guys pitched on your show about, what was it, American...
Oh, American Family.
American Family, and let's do it where they're all families now.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
Yeah, me too.
And then the third one, no one's going to like it. I laughed so hard in this scene. It's a wedding scene, and it's the climax of the movie, pretty much.
Okay.
But it has everyone's favorite comedian, Dane Cook. And actually, Jason Biggs again.
Okay, this is the wedding I thought you were talking. The movie I thought you were talking about.
Really?
When you said My Best Friend's Wedding, because what's it called?
Oh, My Best Friend's Girl.
Yeah, it's so similar. That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, and the wedding scene at the end of that movie, where he's finally when Dane Cook is trying to get not kicked out of the wedding, but trying to be a dick so that everyone will hate him, is friggin' hilarious.
Really?
And some of the stuff that he does is so funny in that movie. I don't even care that everyone hates him. Him playing a dick in that movie is hysterical. There are some scenes in that movie where I defy you not to laugh. Because one of my weaknesses in movies is when a guy is a huge dick. Because it makes me laugh hysterically. And he does it so well in that movie. And yeah.
At first I thought you said...
I love huge dicks.
I thought you said one of my weaknesses in a movie is when a guy has a huge dick. And I was like,
it's sexy. It's sexy and I can't help it. No, like seriously. And then funny, it's because I've showed it to different people before. And like, listen, I know you hate Dane Cook, but just watch this movie. And it is really funny. I don't care what anyone says.
I know this is off topic. Can we talk about for a sec how people are doing this massive turn against Dane Cook all of a sudden when years ago they...
I'd love to talk about it.
I don't get it.
I get it.
I mean, yeah, he's really popular, and I don't know.
I think his comedy, it's always been obnoxious.
Yeah.
But I think it's really taken a downturn in quality and is still obnoxious. So it's kind of annoying.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, it's funny, up until a few weeks ago, I still couldn't stand him. And the only thing that turned me around on him, besides that movie, I love that movie, yeah. I don't care what anyone says. I heard him on WTF, the Marc Maron podcast.
Okay.
And he was talking about how people say he, like, steals jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he told the joke that everyone thinks that he stole from Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got furious because he couldn't have stole that because it's such a generic premise.
Right.
That every comedian uses. The joke was, he said he's going to name his kid something weird, so when he calls him, it'll be funny.
Yeah.
And he stole that from Louis C.K., even though every comedian always does that.
Yeah, he told the exact same story when he was on Fitzdog Radio, you're right. There are a lot of comedians that are accused of stealing a lot of stuff, and most of the stuff that they are accused of stealing, you're right, is so generic that it could come out of nowhere.
You there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, we seem to be having some technical difficulties. In other news, my apologies.
All right, sorry about that, folks. Little technical glitch, but we're back. So, we were talking about Dane Cook and the generic premise, joke stealing crap.
Yeah. Now, someone who does steal jokes, Carlos Mencia. Let's talk about this for a second. he swears up and down he's never seen Bill Cosby himself. You know,
fantastic. One of my favorite of all time.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
I love Bill Cosby's stand-up comedy.
That was an amazing special. Yeah.
Yeah, he does that bit about, like, a son and his father, you know, him teaching to play football.
Yep.
And, like, he goes to school, he does this. It's a really fast-paced joke. And he's like, he goes to the Super Bowl, he wins the Super Bowl, and they say, who do you want to thank, blah, blah, blah. He says, thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
And the dad freaks out, you know? It's a pretty famous joke that Bill Cosby's done.
Sure.
Carlos Mencia did the joke almost verbatim on one of his stand-up things, and people called him out on it. He's like, I've never even seen that. And it's, like, the exact same joke.
See,
that's
okay.
Really different than the whole premise. You know what I mean?
True. Now, there might be... Perhaps he did steal that. And yet, at the same time, I'm like, did he really need to? Because just because he may have stole one joke, and people do accuse him of that, of stealing tons of material, much of his stuff is original, like, clearly original thought and still funny. Like, so why is he still not given credit? I like Carlos Mencia.
I can't stand Carlos Mencia.
I saw him live a couple summers ago. I really like him. I think he's... very thought-provoking. And
we know what he was doing. He was using everyone else's material, so it was really funny. No, I heard him on this podcast where people talk about, like, his people who open up for him say that he would close and then he would fire them and take the material that he got from them. Hmm. And they can't do anything about it because they're opening for him, you know? Like, it's not like they can really say anything because they'll get fired.
Yeah.
And I guess he would do that shit all the time.
I don't know. I guess I haven't seen as much evidence of it as you have, maybe.
Yeah.
But,
and I only know this because I just heard, like, 2 in-depth podcasts about it.
Yeah. I really like him, too, and I have for a while, so maybe I'm just in denial.
Maybe.
It's very possible.
But back to Dan Cook.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with him anymore. Also, because he said that, like, he had one of the best responses ever to, like, why do you think people hate you now?
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, I don't even care anymore. And they were like, well, why? He's like, because in 1 year, my mother and father died.
Right.
So do you really think I care about what people think about me? And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I feel so bad now.
Yeah. Did you ever see the Torgasm show?
Yeah. It was pretty boring.
Really? I kind of liked it.
It was a cool idea, but I don't think there was enough stand-up comedy in a show about stand-up comedians.
I agree. That's true. Well, one of the reasons that I really liked it and I really wanted to see it is because...
I love Gary Goldman, though. That's one of the reasons I watched it.
He's my doppelganger.
I know. You do look a lot alike.
Except he's, like, tall and jacked.
I saw the Torgasm show in Fitchburg.
See, I saw the one at UMass Dartmouth that's, like, in the second to last episode, and he was sitting on a bench that I used to use to stretch for track practice. And I was like, holy crap.
That's awesome.
Yeah, like, right before he went on stage. I thought it was really cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going a little long with the opening segment, but that's all right.
We went really off topic there.
Yeah,
but those are that's my top 3.
Sweet. To bring it back around. All right, well then, we're going to take a really, really quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
We all know the best podcast in the world is...
The Geek Generation.
But what you might not know is, there are other ones, such as...
Like you and me, Hector and Todd. Dangerous Memory.
That's right.
We're reviewing the AFI Top 100, and we're bringing you new episodes every Wednesday. Come check us out on www.hectorandtodd.com.
Hello, listeners. Do you shop on Amazon.com? Would you like to support the Geek Generation while shopping on Amazon.com? Well, then I have good news for you, because you can do both without spending any additional money. All you need to do is visit www.thegeekgeneration.com and find the Amazon button on the front page. Click the button, do your normal shopping, and check out. You have spent no additional money, but you have earned us a commission. Please make this a regular part of your Amazon.com shopping routine. We are back, and it's time to go right into some listener emails. Last week, we asked the fans, what fall TV premiere are you most looking forward to?
I've been looking forward to this question all week.
Have you? Oh,
yeah.
All right.
First, I purposefully didn't answer some people just so I could talk about it on the show.
No kidding. That's,
you're welcome.
That's some saving exclusivity for the Geek Gen.
Exactly.
We appreciate it. All right. Chris Tong. And what I like about this one, before I even get into it, we kind of busted.
He's a super fan.
He is. We busted his balls last week about his answer for the favorite old school NES game. But Chris Tong is on the frickin' money and sent this like the day or the next day after I asked it. And that is awesome.
Chris Tong's amazing. He's a fan of our show.
Is he?
And he just randomly found us online and like friended us on Facebook. And he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's such a good kid.
Yeah. Love him. Chris Tong wrote, you only use, this is in reference to the Konami code questions we had last week. You only use select in the Konami code, up, up, down, down, left, right, B, A, start, if you are playing 2 players, because you leave the select out when you are playing single player. That's why I didn't include it, because I hardly ever played 2 player. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And yeah, I goofed when I said super, but you have to admit the Contra series was pretty sweet. Love your show, Rob. Keep up the good times. So, good response to that, and then the response to the actual question, he's looking forward to CSI, Crime Scene Investigation, or Fringe, Thursday nights.
CSI? What?
I don't know.
I do love Fringe, though. Fringe is amazing.
I've never watched any of the CSI series, so I don't know, really. I didn't realize that they had seasons anymore. I thought it was a continuous flow of CSI.
It just never stops.
Yeah, it just keeps going. It's like wrestling.
It's like Skynet. It's becoming self-aware.
Oh, no. The second response was on Facebook from Kim Amato. Just said, very simple, hands down, Big Bang Theory. Take that, Tizzle.
Take that, Tizzle.
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
terrible.
Love it. I'm so freaking excited for Big Bang.
Can we
Big
just
Bang
talk?
30.
Wait, before we go on.
Yeah.
This made me so mad when I was watching TV the other night. I was watching the How I Met Your Mother season premiere.
Okay. I've watched that too already. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I love that show.
Great show.
But it had a commercial for the Big Bang Theory about, oh, I'm going to make a teleportation device that takes us to Thursday. And what made me so mad is that it was one of the most unfunny things I've ever seen in my life. But not only that, there was a laugh track. It's a commercial. Do we really need a laugh track for a commercial? Let's get out of here.
Sitcom commercials are terrible. Let's be honest.
Yeah, like that show. Oh. I'm being honest.
Yeah. I just bought 2 Big Bang Theory shirts, by the way. I'm going to wear my Bazinga shirt next time I see you.
I'm never going. I'm never meeting you.
You'll like the other one, though. It's
unless
not...
you bring meat candy. All then right. I'll go.
Call back. Look it up, people. I'm not even going to tell them which episode that's in. They have to go find it.
That's listen right. to every single one just to find out when we talked about
damn Mike right. Kids. I want downloads. Next response comes in from at Mitch Henson on the Twitter. House, because it's the only good show left. Also Cougar Town. Possibly.
What? Oh my god, what is going on?
Possibly The Event, because it could be the new Lost. That's apparently what everyone's saying about The Event.
Both of those shows are so bad.
Cougar Town.
Ugh. Hate Cougar Town. And I love Scrubs.
Scrubs is awesome.
I know. And that's what made me so bummed that was his next show. Cougar Town?
Yeah.
Ugh.
The last response comes in from a writer here and there of some Geek Generation articles, Justin Allen. He also says The Event, but I'm keeping my expectations low. I feel like I'm about to be sucked in, and I can only hope that the payoff will be worth it.
I feel the exact same way.
Yeah?
Yeah, I DVR'd it, and I'm really nervous to watch it because I'm afraid I'm really going to like the pilot, and then, you know, it's either going to go all downhill and stuff. But I saw Jason Ritter on Jimmy Fallon, and he said something I didn't know is that the writer, before pitching it, he wrote all 5 seasons.
No kidding.
Yeah, like he just wrote out the 5 seasons and then said, here, this is what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you want to know what that sounds like?
Star Trek?
Lost.
Well, Lost wasn't like that, though, because they came to J.J. Abrams and stuff with the idea of we want to do this island, you know.
True.
Like thing, and then he was like, all right, well, I'm going to bring on Damon Lindelof. And then after they started crafting it, Damon Lindelof came up with, you know, him and Carlton Cuse came up with the 5 or 4 season arc.
Right.
And then they're like, well, can you give us 6 seasons?
I think people had misperceptions that the entire series was scripted out from beginning to end beforehand.
Yeah, it really wasn't.
Yeah. But that's our listener emails. That's all we got, which is fine. That's nice. I don't really need them. I like it when you guys write in, but we do have a lot of crap to get to today.
So passive aggressive.
I know, right? I'm like, oh, whatever. I don't give a crap. Let's go right into news.
Wait, what about us?
Oh, really? Okay, fine. Well, I gave mine during my geek out. I'm looking forward to Dexter.
I said I was waiting.
I'm just going to blow right past it. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, obviously, there's Smallville and Supernatural.
Obviously.
Which, you know, are going to be amazing.
I've not watched Supernatural at all.
Well, it's amazing. Did you just hear the news for Smallville?
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing. It's so cool.
Say it.
I was waiting for her to come on the show.
Say it.
Terry Hatcher got cast as Lois Lane's mom.
Hell yeah, she did.
And it's so awesome. I've been waiting. Even the other day, someone was like, hey, has Terry Hatcher ever been on Smallville? I'm like, no, Dean Cain has, and that was an awesome episode because I love Dean Cain.
Yep.
And I want him on my podcast. I want Dean Cain on Dangerous Memories.
Dean Cain, if you are listening to the Geek Generation podcast, which you are
he's
not.
Never at conventions. I'm always hoping he's going to be at a convention.
Dude, we have to make like a whole website. Please come on my show, DeanCain.com.
I've scoured the internet for like an email address or anything.
Oh.
No, but those 2 shows, obviously, and I was going to say Hawaii Five-0, but I watched it, and I really, really liked it.
Oh, all right.
I was really surprised at how good Hawaii Five-0 was.
Really?
It had really good action for a TV show.
Sweet.
Like, and Spike from Buffy's in it, James Marsters, was in the pilot. He was a bad guy.
He's going to be at both New York Comic Con and Wizard World New England.
Yeah, he's really nice. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met.
I'm really hoping I can get a chance to talk to him at one of them.
I talked to him about Smallville, and it seemed like most people were asking him about Buffy, so he seemed really excited to talk about Smallville.
I've never even watched Buffy, so I'll talk to him about Smallville all freaking day.
He was really nice. But then, obviously, I'm also pumped for, like, you know, the reoccurring things like How I Met Your Mother,
sure.
Modern Family, you know, what was coming up? What's tomorrow? What's on Thursdays? Oh, Community. Community. I'm really excited for Community again, because I love Community.
Cool.
And, like I said, The Event. And I DVR'd like those 2 new Fox comedies, Raising Hope and Running Wild.
Okay.
But I don't really have high hopes for them.
Yeah.
I'm just really pumped for Smallville and Supernatural being on the same night.
Are you looking forward to No Ordinary Family at all?
No.
Really?
No.
Why?
Because it infuriates me that they canceled Heroes and they made this show that really doesn't look that different It just looks kind of silly.
This is ABC, I believe.
Yeah.
And...
Well, I don't mean from the same channel.
Oh, okay.
Saying, like, Heroes was canceled, and like, hey, let's make a show about people who all of a sudden have superpowers.
Well, it's basically live-action Incredibles.
Yeah, and I don't like Michael Chiklis that much.
Oh, all right. Well, I really like Julie Benz.
I like her too, but I'd rather see her on Dexter.
True. We won't say why.
I think that says it all.
Uh-oh. Oh, jeez. All right. So, yeah, now we'll go into news.
Nice.
Top story this week. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 debuts 4 new characters. On the Capcom side, Tron Bon, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, Tron Bone, is a character from the RPG Mega Man Legends. I should know that since it's in the Mega Man universe, but I'm not familiar with that particular one. Also Wesker from Resident Evil. Now, I know nothing.
Son of a bitch.
I know nothing about Resident Evil, really. So
Wesker
can you
inform? Is such a dick. He's one of the bad guys, and especially in Resident Evil 5, he was so hard to kill. And then I said this in the podcast, in my podcast, they translated that to screen so well, how horrible he is to kill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was one of the things I liked about Resident Evil Afterlife, was how hard it was. Like, it was infuriating just watching that movie.
Does the guy have superpowers?
Kind of.
Because I looked at him in the game, and he's like crazy.
He kind of, in the movie at least, he injected himself with whatever they were trying to inject, they gave Alice.
Okay.
So he has, like, you know, the amped up speed and stuff.
Gotcha.
And he starts having, like, that zombie growth thing out of his mouth, and I don't know. It was just, Wesker's such a son of a bitch, and I used to say it all the time. I used to say, God, Wesker is such a dick. I used to say it all the time.
On the Marvel side, X-23, who is a female clone of Wolverine, is in the game, as well as your friendly neighborhood wall crawler, Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
I had to say it like that.
I understand.
Yeah, I don't know why. It just came over me. So, yeah, Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is really just looking more and more awesome as weeks go by.
I'll probably never play it.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's disappointing.
I used to, but I don't really get into fighting games anymore.
I don't so much, but this one just looks so friggin' amazing.
Like, I remember being so excited for DC Mortal Kombat, you know?
Yeah, and it wasn't that great.
Well, I played it for 5 minutes, and I didn't know if it was great or not. I shut it off once and never played it again.
Wow.
I just don't get into fighting games anymore.
Yeah. They're not what they used to be. But
although, you know what I did buy?
What's that?
I bought Batman the Brave and the Bold for the DS.
Oh, yeah?
Wicked fun game.
Really?
Yeah, it's like a classic side-scrolling game, and the beginning is the Joker tricks you into doing the tutorial. And that alone made me laugh hysterically. Oh, man, such a fun game.
Sweet. DMC. Devil May Cry announcement trailer came out at Tokyo Game Show. This is apparently a reboot of the franchise that's now in the hands of the developer Ninja Theory. There's already a lot of outcry from the fans toward the negative side here because Dante's look has been changed quite a bit. And the biggest complaint is that they took away his white hair. And really, anytime you take away a trademark piece of a popular character's look, fanboys are going to get pissed.
Mm-hmm. And Wonder Woman?
Yeah. Well, see, I wasn't that mad about that.
Well, I think weren't a lot of people, though?
Yeah.
Like, don't anything win a change? Like, Batman?
Okay, the new costume, I saw a more full body picture. I don't like that they got rid of the, like, trunks.
Yeah.
Because he has, like, just straight up gray codpiece and pants now, and it's odd looking.
Anytime they change things like that, people, you know, get a little heated.
Yeah.
Like, even the Superman Returns costume. I know you've talked about it before, like, with the belt and stuff.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's from design, it's just not good.
Yeah, it's weird that they had Superman logos all over his costume.
I know.
But if you look at it just straight on, I don't mind it. I don't mind the Superman logo is pointless, but I like the darker tones.
I do too, actually.
I just think it's more eye-pleasing, almost.
Sure. Well, it makes it fit into the real world more.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, as silly as it was, I loved that the Raid's Superman logo on his chest had little tiny Superman logos all throughout it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I thought that looked really cool close up.
Yeah.
It was pointless.
Yeah,
I just thought it was aesthetically pleasing. But even like the second someone saw that, they were like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And it happens all the time. So,
yeah.
I mean, you can't please anyone ever.
That's true. You really can't. The Fighter trailer was released. And normally I don't just say that, hey, a trailer was released. Yeah, I guess. But
it looks just like Rocky. It's funny. I want to see it really bad, but it looks exactly like Rocky.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about this movie specifically. Well, for a couple reasons.
Well, you're co-starring it, right?
Not quite. A, Mark Wahlberg and Christian Bale are two of my favorite actors ever.
Love them.
And the fact that they're in a movie together is just phenomenal.
In Boston.
Yeah. The other part relates to it being local is that I was an extra in the crowd for a lot of the major fight scenes in the movie that they filmed at the Songus Arena in Lowell. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Which part was that? Was it like a climactic fight or was it just like a random fight?
They filmed, I believe, three different fights. And
that must have been a long day, huh?
I was there for 6 or 7 hours.
Well, that's not bad.
No. But it was
That's actually really impressive.
Well, okay. I was in full... It was the middle of the summer. I'm in full, like, old-fashioned regalia because the movie takes place during the 80s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, yeah. And the last fight that they were really focusing the crowd on was taking place in, I believe, London. So we had to wear, like, earth tones and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in, like, full-on button-up shirt and pants and suit jacket and tie in the crowd in the arena and... It was really friggin' hot. It was already summer. There's like over 600 people in the crowd, and they could not turn on the AC because they had fog machines going to create that ambiance.
Yeah.
And the AC would have pulled all the fog out. So we were dying.
That's still really impressive to me that they got through three fight scenes in 6 to 7 hours.
I think it was three. It might have been two.
But still,
yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of setups and stuff. That's really impressive.
Wow. Yeah. But it was really a cool experience to be a part of. I don't know if I would necessarily do it again, but I got to see two of my favorite actors filming scenes together.
Yeah, that's really
so
cool.
That's I love that. But anyway, that movie is going to be released in theaters on December 10th, 2010, and I am pumped for it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think it looks really good.
Telltale's Back to the Future games. Big news thing here. Not only is the original film's co-creator and writer Bob Gale going to be consulting on the game, but Christopher Lloyd will also be returning to voice Dr. Emmett Brown in the game.
I can't wait.
That's awesome.
I hope it's as good as the Ghostbusters game.
Was that good?
Oh, it was great.
Really?
Yeah, it was really well written, too.
Yeah. I'll have to play it at some point, then, I guess.
You better.
I'm really pumped. I love Telltale's games like Sam & Max and Strong Bad and all that stuff. And actually, I just bought...
Strong Bad.
Oh, yeah. The Homestar Running game's great.
I haven't watched a Strong Bad short in so long.
I
used to watch
them
every day in senior year of high school.
Me too. Well, high school. I only found out about it in college.
Oh. Well, you might have been in college when I was in high school.
You're probably right. I'm a little older than you are.
Yeah. What are you, like, 36 now?
Yeah, that's funny. I'll be 30 in January. Thank you very much.
I was close.
Yeah. Most people think I'm younger than I am, right?
No, I really do think you look younger than
Yeah,
me.
That's right.
I was actually surprised when you just said 30.
I know, right?
That's why I said 36. I thought I'd be going like 10 years off.
Jacking it up there. Yeah, most people do think I'm like between 24 and 26.
Why do you think I hang out with you? I'm not going to hang out with someone older than me. Gross.
You weirdos. Old people. Last thing on the news agenda. Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Can't wait.
Columbia Pictures has set a release date of February 17th, 2012 for the Ghost Rider sequel.
I'm pumped.
I kind of am, and I'm kind of not at the same time.
You're kind of wrong.
I really just wish it wasn't going to be Nick Cage in the role, but you know what? Whatever.
I love him.
Do you?
He has a Ghost Rider tattoo on him.
I like Nick Cage too, unlike most people, but not in the role of Ghost Rider.
I like him.
All right, well.
I mean, he's not amazing or anything, but I at least like that they got someone who likes the character.
Okay, that's true.
Because, I mean, they had to remove his Ghost Rider tattoo in scenes, so, you know. It wouldn't make sense if Johnny Blaze had a Ghost Rider tattoo on him.
They should have just pretended it appeared when he got possessed by the...
just to make it that much more dumb.
That's right. They might as well have. They were already there.
Ooh.
All right,
I enjoyed the first movie for what it was. It was entertaining.
I own it. I'm not going to lie. I have not bought Superman Returns, but I do own Ghost Rider.
What does that do with anything? What are you trying to turn the knife? Stick it in?
Maybe.
Let's get real here.
Maybe a little bit.
Ridiculous. I love Brandon Ralph.
I'm just gonna mutter a lot. That's what I do when I really can't think of a creative comeback. It's just So I do it a lot because I'm very uncreative. Okay.
Makes sense.
Well, that's our news block. So I guess we'll take another short break and we'll be right back with the major consonant contest announcement.
I love breaks.
Yeah, breaks are fun. That's when we eat apples.
I love apples.
Yay. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris, your host for Geek Tech Live, the biweekly podcast that showcases tech news, reviews of consumer products and games, and I even get to talk to some of the movers and shakers in the world of geekdom. Occasionally, I even throw in a rant or two. So drop on by to geektechlive.com. See you there.
Hi, this is Hector from Dangerous Memories, and you're listening to The Geek Generation.
We are back, and before we go into our review of the town and go into our first countdown segment, I have a major contest announcement here. Now, the prize is not like anything super stellar because I'm poor and I don't make a lot of money off of this show. So this is really just coming out of my own pocket because I love the people that actually take the time to listen. Yep. I love you guys.
I love you too.
What? Hey. Oh yeah. Wait, Todd's here. Todd's here. That's right.
Who is this?
Anyway, the contest I'm calling 2x500, and here's the reason. One of my big goals for the site and the show, by the end of the 2010 calendar year, I want to have 500 fans on the Facebook page and 500 followers on the Twitter account. Right now, the current Facebook fan count is 325, so we're not far off.
Man, we have 70.
Yeah, suck that. I also post 3 times a day, pretty much.
Yeah, we never post.
The current Twitter follower count is 198. So that's still a little ways off. But I think that we can hit 500 on both by the end of this year. If we do hit both of those marks by the end of this year, I will choose a random fan or follower who will receive a $20 Best Buy gift certificate.
Card. They don't have certificates anymore, Rob.
Come well, they're, whatever. Gift card. Get off my back. I'm trying to give away free stuff here. Anyway, the way it's going to work is I'm going to put up a post about the contest on the Geek Generation site. All you need to do to enter is to leave a comment on that post. The reason I'm doing that is because I know there are people that are active readers and listeners, and there are some people who are just following or on the fan page because I spammed them with requests. So if we hit the goal of 500 fans and 500 followers by the end of the year, I'll use a randomizer to choose one of those commenters to win. So if you don't comment, you're not entered whether we hit the mark or not. In order to hit those numbers, though, I do need your help. On Facebook, please suggest our page to your friends and post stuff from the site on your profile. On Twitter, encourage your followers to follow us and tweet our articles using the sharing buttons on the site. It's really that easy.
Sounds good to me.
Super easy. So yeah, all you have to do when that post goes up, comment on it, and you're entered. Even if you do nothing from that point on, you're entered, but we need to hit that mark for this contest to actually activate and me to give away that $20 gift card.
There you go.
So that's all. Be a lookout for the lookout on the site for that post, www.thegeekgeneration.com.
The Lookout is a good movie.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
Let's go on another freaking random tangent. Anyway, we have a review to do, and I know you are a big fan of The Town, which I also saw this week.
I enjoyed it, yeah.
Now, we agreed that it didn't require a full spoiler room segment because it's just not one of those movies, but it was a really good movie. So feel free, give us your opinion, Todd.
I loved it. It's my number one movie of the year so far.
That's big words.
I know.
I mean, they're actually small words, but just in a large...
But together,
yeah,
they're big.
They're powerful.
It packs a punch.
It does. I really liked it too. I'm not going to go as far as saying it's my favorite movie that I saw so far this year, but like most somewhat Affleck fans, I was really happy to see him in a good role on the screen again.
He's the best.
And
I love him.
I remember you saying in your show, of course, that what number? 35?
Two.
32. 32. I'm jumping way ahead. 32 Dangerous Memories. It feels like you guys have been around forever. That's all.
It does.
That's what it is.
It's getting old. It's
old? No, please. Jeremy Renner was really, really good in this movie.
Oh, he was so good. He has power. It's so hard not to watch him in that movie.
Yeah, and
not
I thought
Will Smith.
I'm really happy to see this push of movies in the Boston area.
I like it a lot too, yeah.
And I guess it's just because I'm local, but I don't know. The only thing that's kind
of
weird.
Like things outside of LA and New York, you know?
Yeah, it's because different. That's the same thing all the time.
Yeah.
And there's a big push now. I just hope they don't overdo it.
Well, I mean, I guess like the governor or something wants to put the taxes back on Massachusetts again. So they might start stopping shooting here.
I heard that too. And I think that's a horrible idea because, you know, why do people need jobs?
That's true.
Why? Let's put some taxes on and just take away jobs. And then there'll be less people paying taxes and it'll be pointless.
Right.
But not to get into a political rant or anything. yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of details to really give, except really, I would really recommend this movie. I actually was planning on seeing The Other Guys because then I got a phone call and I ended up running a little late for when I was going to go, but The Town was showing 20 minutes later than The Other Guys. So I was like, oh, I'll check out The Town. I really wanted to see that too. I was really glad I did.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The Other Guys was really funny too, though, from what I saw.
Well, I have to watch every Mark Wahlberg movie. It's just a rule.
I want
to
see it again just because, like I've mentioned before on my podcast, the audio was so bad at the drive-in that I couldn't even hear half of it.
That's obnoxious. I don't even remember the last time I've gone to a drive-in.
Yeah.
There's one right on 146 too, and I've been meaning to go for years, but now
I love going, but for some reason that drive-in is just terrible, I guess.
Is that the same one I'm referring to?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay. Yeah, so go see The Town. That's really all I'm going to say about it.
Sorry, that's such a bad review.
Yeah.
My review's up on HectorandTodd.com, if you want to read mine.
There you go. I would post one on the site, but I'm hella busy.
I feel you.
Yeah, so I kind of do this instead.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so go to HectorandTodd.com and read that review.
It's a good review.
That's right. I haven't even read it yet, and I know it's a good review, but I will.
Sure you will.
Yeah. So we have a new segment, as we love to do when Todd visits us here.
You love to spring these things on me.
That's right. And today we are going to do a little bit of blah, 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 blah. You know what?
Those weren't even words.
No. And I am a teacher, as I've said before, and I told this to my classes, I think, last week. So I'm going to say it again on the show. I'm pretty sure my brain works faster than my mouth does, and it causes me to jump over my words a lot, and I've been doing it a lot on the show recently. Like,
it happens to me all the time. Have you ever heard Dangerous Memories? It's all I do.
Not as much as me. I'm like I'm a cluster F in the mouth here.
I get crap for it all the time.
Do you? I don't think anyone's really said anything to me about it, but I notice it, and I'm very self-critical of it. But I want to be able to introduce the segment the right way.
I feel you.
Yeah. This is called Countdown.
Is there a theme?
It just played.
Oh,
but you didn't hear it. Yeah, you didn't hear it. I'm still leaving that in. Basically, in Countdown, we get a top however many of whatever category. So, unlike top three, these are not spontaneous. We prepared for these. I knew the category.
Prepared is a strong word.
Okay, well, we've somewhat prepared for these. This is actually an article that was on the Geek Generation site for me about not even a year ago, but close to. Wow, we're coming up on almost a year of the Geek Generation already. That's crazy.
Awesome.
The site only debuted in December 2009. And one of the first articles that I posted was the top five TV shows that I think were canceled far too soon. So I'm going to do a little quick rundown here. And Todd's got his own list, and we're going to see. Should we go back and forth, or should we go?
We can go back and forth.
Okay, let's go back and forth. Let's do that. My number five is Dark Angel. Now, I know Dark Angel is not the most technically sound, like, super produced show.
It was James Cameron. It couldn't have been that bad.
Right. Well, yeah, no, it wasn't. It was. I really enjoyed it for the two seasons that it existed. Basically, if you're not familiar with the show, it's about this genetically enhanced superhuman prototype. Her name is Max, played by Jessica Alba. She ends up meeting this cyber journalist who is battling the repression of the time. And they kind of end up teaming up. There's a whole love connection thing going on. And one of the things that I did with all my shows is I wanted to give a reason why it was so great and why it was canceled too soon. Basically, I think, A, some of Jessica Alba's hottest moments were during the show. And this was really her time of being discovered as an actress before she went movie bound and everything.
Actress is a strong word.
Yeah. Oh. What, you didn't like Honey? But seriously, it was a good show either way. It wasn't necessarily the most thought-provoking show, but the entertainment value was still there. The show had a good mix of sci-fi, action, humor, drama, just about something for everyone, I think.
It's fair.
So that's my number five. What do you got?
I never saw it. I'm going to preface my list by saying that this isn't what I think shouldn't have been canceled, because it makes sense why they were canceled. Because I never really have a problem with shows getting canceled if it makes sense, like, financially for the company, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These are just ones I wish weren't canceled.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same for me. I can understand why some of these were. Others I really can't understand, but, like, Dark Angel, I guess I can kind of see.
Yeah, especially with that, it was probably expensive to produce, you know?
Right.
My number five is one that is the obligatory, it's probably what everyone's going to say, and it's Arrested Development.
Right.
Just because I freaking love that show. It was one of the funniest of all time. But, I mean, no one watched it. Everyone says it's the best show ever, but it had horrible ratings.
I really didn't watch it, and honestly, it's not on my list.
Really? Wow, I'm surprised. I really thought that would be on your list.
I do like it. It's just nothing I've gone out of my way to even watch the whole series of yet.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's like I've watched every episode multiple times. And it's a set of DVDs that I'll go back and watch every few months.
If anything, I'm really happy that it brought Jason Bateman back into prominence.
That was one of the best things about it, yeah. I love Jason Bateman.
Yeah, he's great.
And I love Teen Wolf, too. I don't care what anyone says.
Hell yeah. let's see. My number four. I don't know if you ever saw this show, Sports Night.
I don't really like, what's his face? The writer.
I don't even know who the writer is, honestly.
Like, he just wrote The Social Network, and he wrote West Wing.
Oh, okay. See, Sports Night is kind of a random pick for me, because anyone that knows me knows I don't give a crap about sports, and I don't watch them. I'm not really fans of any teams or anything like that. But the show itself was about a sports news show.
Aaron Sorkin.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right. Good. Sports news show. It was called Sports Night, of course, the show. And it was about the people who worked there. It wasn't really about sports. It was about the behind the scenes of creating the show. And it dealt with their friendships, the ethical issues that they were facing while producing the show. They were under constant network pressure because of the ratings and stuff like that. And the reason it was so great is to know how truly great, I said this already, the show is, you need to know how big of a sports fan I am not. it was not really about sports. The thing I really liked about it is the style of humor. I really like the tongue-in-cheek, quick, witty banter, and the show is totally full of it. And it's the same reason I like Gilmore Girls. And I don't give a crap who says anything about that. That show's freaking awesome. But I love that tongue-in-cheek, like, quick, witty banter where you really have to pay attention to get all the jokes. And that's what I like about Sports Night.
That's fair.
Yeah. It was really, like, touching, too, I thought.
That's cool.
Yeah. Your number four?
My number four is a silly one because, I mean, it makes sense it was canceled on for 8 seasons. But I think it went out like a bitch. Like, it wasn't fair that people didn't give it a finale.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is going to be silly and people are going to make fun of me so hard for it. But Full House, it made me furious that they were just like, all right, you're canceled. And they never really got to have a finale. You know, it's a show that was a huge hit for like almost 8 years. And it doesn't make any sense to me that they would just always be like, oh, we're pulling the plug. Sorry, you know, you don't get a finale.
Even though I was watching as they were creating new ones around the end there, I don't even remember the end. And maybe that's why.
It ended. No, see, what happened was at the end, like one of the last episodes is Michelle loses her memory or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And because she fell off her horse.
They had the bad way of doing a clip show.
No, it wasn't. Well, I mean, it kind of was. But, I mean, that's probably why they did it, you know, because they didn't have time to get a finale together.
Right.
And at the end of the episode, everyone came out and bowed, and that was the end. And I'm like, that's not fair. Like, every show, you know, a lot of the long-running sitcoms like that got a finale. Like, Fresh Prince, you know, they moved, and it was awesome, and it was sad.
Right.
And it was really good, well done. And I don't know, it just got gypped, and it kind of made me mad, you know?
You're right. That is a huge show.
Because I spent so much of my youth watching that show and all of a sudden just be gone like that.
Especially when you look at Full House's place in our culture now.
Yeah, everyone knows it.
Right. Any like age,
young,
too.
Young and old. Everyone knows what Full House is, whether they think it's stupid or not. I don't know. It just bummed me out.
Wow, I never even considered that. And you really wouldn't consider necessarily such a long-running show. And I guess I really didn't in most of these. But you're right. It kind of did need just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
So it was canceled too soon?
I think so.
Number three.
I don't think it was canceled too soon. I just think they should have gave it a finale.
Well, yeah. Well, so yeah, like even one more episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Nice.
Number three. Another one I'm not sure a lot of people watched because it only lasted one season, unfortunately. Jack and Bobby. Familiar?
That is.
No idea. Okay.
Is that with... oh, no, it's Ned and Stacy. Never mind.
No, yeah. No, Jack and Bobby, and I actually really, really like both the actors that came out of this. Here's the premise, which I thought was really cool. The show followed the lives of teenage Jack and Bobby McAllister as they went to high school and grew older.
I thought it had something to do with JFK.
Ah, see, the names I don't think were any accident, even though it wasn't tied directly to JFK, but the names were definitely no coincidence. There was a lot of conflict that was generated between the boys and their mother, who was both domineering and unreliable. The main storyline was paralleled by a series of interviews with figures associated with the McAllister presidency, who spoke of events from Robert McAllister's later life. Typically, there was a thematic link between the main plot set during Bobby's childhood adolescence and the reminiscences of his adult life and political career. Now, one of the things that was cool about this show is that the entire series, it was very much focused around the older brother Jack and his younger brother Bobby. And we were led to believe that Jack was the one, because they never said which of the brothers was the president in the future. We learned about the end of this season that not only was Bobby actually the one who grew up to be the president, but his brother Jack died fighting in a war. So now we're going back, and this is just in the first season, so as you're watching these episodes now, I don't even think it was the last episode they revealed that in of the season, you're looking at these boys knowing that this one's gonna die and this one's gonna be the president. And that's really cool. But the show was so great because the writing was amazing. It had great characters, great performances. The show had absolutely everything going for it. And to me, the cancellation of Jack and Bobby after only one season shows the true collective intelligence of our country in terms of entertainment. It was smart, it was funny, it was incredibly touching, and it was a show that dared to be fantastic while mediocrity was the norm. And
I'm looking at the cast list right now, and there's two guys from Mad Men in it.
Who?
John Slattery.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who plays Jack McAllister was just in the fourth season.
Yeah, Jack was the younger Ghost Rider as well.
Yeah.
The young Johnny Blaze in Ghost Rider. And take a look at who Bobby is.
Logan Lerman, get him out of here.
What? You don't like him?
Not really.
That's the whole reason I like Logan Lerman, and I'm huge fan of him, and I really wanted him
to be... Actually, no, there's a third character from Mad Men on here. Jessica Perry.
Yes.
She's on Mad Men, too.
I wonder if there's a link between them, then.
It's possible.
See, if they have the same writers on Mad Men as they did on Jack and Bobby, that tells you right there how good a show Jack and Bobby was. There's actually also a kind of a... not a main character, but a guy in there who's now quite big, I would say.
Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, Bradley Cooper.
He's getting pretty huge.
He had a really great role in that show.
I've liked him since Wet Hot American Summer. So.
Oh, yeah.
And that was like 2001.
That's true. But the best thing about this show, even though it didn't continue, and everyone should watch it because as far as powerful television goes, it was really, really good. The nice thing about it is that the entire series can be watched for free on the WB.com right now.
That's cool.
So if you have any interest in that, go check
it
out.
It does sound really interesting, actually, yeah.
I thought it was such an amazing premise, and the critics loved it, and I loved it, and it just didn't keep going, which made me sad. I actually kind of want to watch the whole series again right now that I'm talking about it. what's your number three?
My number three is Heroes.
Oh,
obviously.
Yes.
I mean, that was going to come up no matter what because, you know, I'm a huge fan of Heroes. And as much as, like, I think the last season could have been an ending.
Yep.
I would have liked to have seen some sort of wrap-up. I know they said they're not going to do the movie now, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have liked to have seen something.
Me too.
There's really not a lot to say about Heroes. I mean, I've talked about it so many times on this and my show, so...
Yeah, and I talked about it a little bit last episode, too, but I'm in the same boat. I mean, it's not on my list, maybe just because it's so recent and I did make this list a while ago.
Yeah.
But... I really wish they tied it up. I feel like I put a lot of time into it, and I was really, really invested in those characters and wanted to know where they were going.
Yeah, I mean, what I thought was weird is, like, Tim Kring was, like, before the last episode aired, he was like, oh man, we better get a new season because the last episode ends with such a huge cliffhanger. And I got really nervous.
Yeah.
And it really didn't, though.
No, it wasn't that big.
I think it's a cool ending, you know, if that, I mean, obviously it is now the ending, but I mean, I still would have liked to have seen, you know, War of Closure.
Yeah, I really liked the direction they were going. Like, it was almost like they were going to bring the company back under new leadership.
Yeah,
and
I really liked the fourth season. I don't know.
I did too, honestly. I thought it was a really interesting villain, and it had a lot of twists and turns. And
it was a lot more like the first season, in my opinion, because every episode dealt with, like, one or two people as opposed to, you know, having 17 people.
Right, right.
I liked it, so whatever.
I agree.
Not you. Someone else can bite.
Someone, some random hero hater out there can just bite Todd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll take it like a man.
Number two for me, Batman Beyond.
Ugh.
See, I was very apprehensive about this show when I first heard about it because I am not a fan of anyone else. And I've discussed this before. I'm not a fan of anyone except for Bruce being Batman.
That was actually something that made me furious about listening to one of your podcasts because you were giving the comic Batman Robin shit. And it is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, with Damian Wayne being Robin, it is really good.
I'm sure it's really good, but
to
me,
it's so well written.
To me, Batman is Bruce. You
can't. And Bruce is coming back.
And that's fine, but I don't need the interim. I just don't.
You do need the interim because that's them finding him, and it's the best part. It's so good.
Ah, fine. anyway, back to Batman Beyond. Basically, the premise is 40 years after the current adventures of Batman and 20 years after Bruce Wayne's retired from being Batman, his secret's discovered by a young teen named Terry McGinnis. McGinnis's father is then murdered by the man who took over Bruce's company. And McGinnis kind of becomes the apprentice now of Bruce Wayne. And I think one of the reasons I accepted Terry as Batman is because he's so different. And the costume is so different. And it's a different world and a different time. And I don't know. I think maybe that did it for me. There was enough separation from Bruce. Like, he had put it in his past that it was different. And I don't even necessarily think about him as Batman. I think about him as Batman Beyond. He's a different hero. It just happens to have the name Batman within it. So I do think of him as Batman Beyond. But basically, he was almost like a mesh between Batman and Spider-Man to me. Like, he was he kept all the some of the dark elements, and yet he still had the wisecracking like side and kind of related to the teenage. There are a lot of shows that they try to gear towards teens that just fall flat, but Batman Beyond did not. And it ended up creating a really cool Elseworld in my eyes. And I don't look at it as canon. I look at it as a really interesting Elseworld. But unfortunately, it was cut short because the creative team just wanted to do something new, and that ended up being Justice League.
Which was awesome.
Which was also great, yeah.
I think I had the same problem you did at the beginning, was I just didn't want to see another Batman.
Yep.
And I tried to watch it. I tried to watch The Return of the Joker, and I just can't get into it. I don't like it.
Really? See, Return of the Joker was phenomenal, but I think...
I know, that's what everyone says, so that's why I was really excited to watch it, and I didn't like it.
If you haven't watched the whole series, though, you're missing out on things, I think.
Well, everyone always tells me I can watch that standalone.
No, I wouldn't.
Honestly. Well, I'm never going to watch the show, so that's never going to happen.
Really? I haven't.
I snapped
can
the DVD
them.
In half.
I really want you to get on board, Todd.
Never happened.
One of us... One of us. What's your number two?
My number two is Star Trek, the original series.
Oh.
Because it was supposed to be, you know, a 5-year trek. Like, that was the whole thing.
Sure.
It was supposed to be a 5-year Star Trek.
Makes
and,
sense.
And after 3 seasons, it got cut short. It almost got cut short after this second season, I think, or after the first season. And then they were like, no, we'll bring it back. And then they canceled it after the 3rd season. And no one watched it then, that's why. And then it became huge like 10 years later in syndication.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would have loved to have seen where it was going.
I can honestly say, as much of a Trekkie as I am, and yes, I do say Trekkie, I don't want any of this Trekker bullcrap.
Trekker, yeah, I don't like Trekker
I hate
either.
That, that's stupid.
I don't understand why Trekkie is derogatory to them.
I don't understand.
It doesn't make any sense to
them. Them, to us.
Well, yeah, but I don't find it derogatory, so.
No, not at all. I'm proud of being a Trekkie.
Yeah.
F it. I never really got into the original series that much of a Trekkie as I am. I kind of started off with the Next Generation.
That's how I was. I was very, not against original series, but I just wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't watch the movies. I was like, that's stupid. I don't like Kirk. I don't like Spock.
Yeah.
And I love Next Generation. And then like 3 or 4 years ago, I watched a few of the old movies and I started to watch the first season and yep. I got like really into it.
Hmm.
It's so good. It's so cheesy, but it's like really good at the same time.
I think that's part of my problem. It feels really dated to me.
It is really dated, but it's really funny, like intentionally really funny at times. And it just has some of my favorite moments ever in television that make me laugh so hard.
Hmm. I'm kind of scared to say how uninterested in the original series I still am because being on a show that has the word geek in it.
No, and... I understand completely. That was the exact same way.
Yeah.
But if you watch the episode when they go back to like the Old West or something and there's like these deformed kids and Captain Kirk's trying to talk to them and they're going blah, 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 blah to him. And he's going, no, no, blah, blah. You'll never want to stop watching.
I almost feel like it's going to show up on a Mystery Science Theater 3000 type show, and they're going to be making fun of the original Star Trek.
No way, it's not that bad.
No. I don't know. Some of those effects are pretty lame.
No, if you watch the Blu-rays, they're all updone, like
okay,
remastered
that's true.
And stuff. It actually looks kind of cool.
Okay, maybe I'd give it a chance in that scenario then.
You should. They look really good on Blu-ray.
Hmm. Okay, maybe.
And just watch it for The City on the Edge of Forever, or whatever that episode's called.
That's
amazing television.
That is supposed to be one of the best of the best.
It is incredible. It's so good.
Number one.
Uh-oh.
Number one time. My number one.
Freaks and Geeks?
No. I don't like Apatow. Screw him.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that. Is it Sunday Night Heat?
No. There's no way in hell you're guessing my number one, because it was also another show that ran for one season. And it was actually one of, remember UPN?
I sure do.
It was one of UPN's launch
Shasta
titles.
McNasty?
What?
Shasta McNasty?
I don't know what that is.
I used to love that show on UPN. Hysterical. Jake Busey was on it.
Well, this show was, I think, it used to be on either right before or right after Platypus Man.
I have no idea what that is.
Which was Richard Jenny's show. That was also short-lived. But no, I'm referring to Nowhere Man.
No idea what that is.
No idea. Okay. Tell me this premise is not awesome. Oh, and by the way, it stars Bruce Greenwood. So
he's all right. He has his moments.
Yeah, he's awesome. Okay.
He looks kind of weird now.
He's getting older.
No, but I don't mean like older weird. I mean like if you watch Dinner for Schmucks,
mm-hmm.
It looks like he's had some work done. And I don't see why, because he was a good-looking man just like a year ago in National Treasure 2 or whenever.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. So basically, premise of
Nowhere
Man.
He was good on the Red Hood, though.
Oh, phenomenal.
Even though he sounded exactly like Kevin Conroy, to the point, but it was still good.
Still good. So basically, Bruce Greenwood stars as documentary photographer Thomas Vail, who in the course of one evening seemingly has his whole existence erased in a compelling one-hour drama format known as Nowhere Man. It appears as if some mysterious and powerful entity has coerced Vail's family and friends into cooperating in a clandestine plan to annul every trace of him. Vail is all alone with no option but to begin a desperate, dangerous quest to find out how and why this happened, and most importantly, who is behind this torturous scheme.
Yeah, it sounds really familiar.
So it's big-time mystery stuff, and really, the show is so great because, really, I'm not sure how this could have been written any better. The premise is phenomenal. Every episode, your heart was 100% this guy, hoping that he'd find that one piece of the puzzle that would save him from the misery that he's been put into, and we'll never know because it only ran one season, which just kills me, because a mystery show that you never find out the mystery,
yeah,
that's destructive. But I, like, it was definitely conspiracy too, because
like flash forward,
yeah, like he woke up and his wife didn't know who he was, but as the season went on, he bumped into her again, and it was very evident that she was not allowed to admit that she knew who he was. So not only was he being tortured, she was, in the sense that she had to pretend this. And basically the photograph he took, I forget exactly what it was called.
Is it like Truman Show kind of thing where people like acting?
It seems like that. But it's because of some sort of conspiracy, as far as we could tell. He took a picture of four people hanging from a gallows that were in suits. And the only thing we really found out about it is that they were all senators. So that was really...
It does sound really cool.
Yeah, it's an awesome, awesome idea. And actually, you can buy that one season on DVD.
Well, I don't want to.
Which
I don't want to see it now if it's not, never going to be answered.
I think it's worth watching, though, just for the storytelling aspect. Is really, if you can appreciate it for just that alone, then it's really good.
I feel like you had better picks than me. Mine are all more mainstream than yours, and you had these really cool, like, you know, not as well-known shows that really didn't deserve to be canceled.
Well, not only did I actually take the time, like, a while, like, when I actually wrote this, it was months ago, and I spent a lot of time, like, really racking my brain for the shows that I really missed, but you threw yours together today, so I'll say that just to take the pressure off you, and the fans won't be so critical.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, yeah. What's your number one?
My number one is Pushing Daisies.
Haven't seen it.
It's so good, and it's so beautiful on Blu-ray. That's a show you have to get on Blu-ray. But it's just about this guy, the pie maker, who can touch people and they die. Or when they're dead, he can touch them and they come back to life for a minute. And if he doesn't touch them again to kill them, something like equal to them will die. And so what happens is the woman he was in, like the girl he was in love with when he was a kid, dies. So he touches her. And then doesn't want her to die again, so he can't touch her ever again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's such a good show. It's beautiful. It's hysterical. It's so clever. It actually, Brian Fuller created, who was a writer on Heroes, and it's funny because a lot of people think when he left Heroes is when the show went downhill, and then when he came back, it started to get better again.
Huh.
So, because after Pushing Daisies got canceled, he went back to Heroes for a while.
How long did it last?
2 seasons.
Hmm.
And most people think the writer's strike is the thing that killed it because... it wasn't on for so long after the writer's strike.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came back, the ratings weren't as good, so it got canceled.
The writer's strike did a lot of shows in.
Yeah, killed a lot of shows.
Heroes.
Like, yeah, Heroes is really probably one of the bigger ones, too, because, you know, it had to cut so many storylines.
Scrubs.
Yep, Scrubs.
Suffered a lot.
Yeah. And speaking of Scrubs, that last season was so pointless.
Yeah.
I love the finale of the 8th season.
Oh, that was so amazing.
It was beautiful.
Tears in my eyes. Yeah,
yeah, I was bawling at that last episode. There was no reason to bring it back.
I cannot imagine a more perfect way for him to leave the hospital.
Yeah, it was so good. I loved it.
Yeah.
But that's my number one, Pushing Daisies. I love that show. And I actually haven't even watched the last few episodes because I'm afraid, because I hear it ends on such a cliffhanger and it's going to make me so mad.
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm like afraid to watch it, but it's so beautiful. It's such a good show. You have to watch it.
We're recommending all these shows that people should never watch because they'll just be... But they are, in their own right, they're amazing like shows. Like Nowhere Man is great storytelling. Jack and Bobby is some of the best written television I've ever seen. So if
Pushing Daisies is so incredibly well written. What's his name who does the Harry Potter books, and he's the narrator of Little Big Planet?
Oh,
British guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he does the narration of Pushing Daisies, and it's so good. And like, even his dog got hit by a car when he was little, and mm-hmm. he woke him up, so he can't touch him anymore. So he scratches him with like a long, like wooden peg type thing.
Oh my God!
And it's so good. Like he wants to kiss the girl, and so like they have to like put a piece of plastic between them.
Jeez.
You have to watch the show, man. So
I will. You know what? I will watch Pushing Daisies both seasons if you watch Nowhere Man.
Done. If you have it, I'll borrow it.
I will have it.
All right.
All right.
Consider it done.
Sweet. All right. Well, those are our that was a pretty good first countdown segment. I enjoy that.
I loved it.
Sweet. Well, then in that case, I'm going to put the poll question out now. And if people want to comment on the spoiler etiquette and DVRs and all that stuff, feel free. But the official poll question for this week will be, what TV show do you think was canceled far too soon? And again, there's tons of criteria. You could say why it was canceled far too soon is kind of irrelevant. For whatever reason that might be, what show? You can send those to podcast at thegeekgeneration.com or at geekgeneration on Twitter. Anything you'd like to plug as we wrap this up, Todd?
No, just www.hectorandtodd.com and my podcast, Dangerous Memories.
Love Dangerous Memories.
We're back, so there
Sweet.
You go.
Sweet. Can't wait to get the two of you in here together. That'll be a good show.
Can't wait to get you on Dangerous Memories.
Yeah, I'm still trying to think of a reason to go on. Like, I don't watch the AFI stuff, so.
So?
Uh-huh. I'll come hang out for the first segment and just...
I was going to say, you could at least come on for the first segment, the first half.
Consider it done. I'll be there. Yeah.
Nice.
Sweet. All right. Well, then, as always, if you like the show, please tell your friends. If you would like to see the articles that we talked about in the news block today, or be on the lookout for that contest post, you can visit the site at www.thegeekgeneration.com. There is also a button there, which you can use to subscribe in iTunes. While you're there, please rate the show, write a review. That increases our visibility in the store. There's also a donate button, and guess what, Todd? I got a donation.
What?
1 penny.
From who?
From G1.
From who?
Geek Generation fan number one, Jaren number one.
Oh, look at that.
He thinks he's a wise guy.
What a dick.
1 penny.
For being such a huge fan.
I know. I get home, I see a thing. You have a donation. I was like, holy crap. 1 penny.
That's like a big punch in the balls, huh?
I'm just happy someone's thinking of us.
Just not thinking enough, I guess.
I guess. If you have questions, comments, insults, or topics you would like us to discuss on a future episode, send those to podcast@thegeekgeneration.com or @geekgeneration on Twitter. If you'd like to submit an article to the site or an audio file to this show, send those to guest@thegeekgeneration.com. And as always, the show theme is provided by Machine Supremacy. A link to their site can be found on our site. So good show, Todd.
Thank you.
We had a lot of fun here today, discussed a lot of crap, talked really fast, and stumbled over our words frequently.
Story of my life.
Awesome. Well then, that being said, we will see you next time on The Geek Generation.